I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So, Megan, I am planning a couple trips to L.A. in the end of the summer, early fall. And I heard that Tom Tom may be reopening. So I'm planning to go get some goat cheese balls.
I'm trying to remember if they have those there. I only went once with old producer Grace. But Lisa Vanderpump said Tom Tom is going to be reopening. It was very vague, like no specific details, but I'm thrilled. I love Tom Tom.
It's definitely a place that I have been meaning to check out for a while, but I just haven't been able to go to LA because, you know, there's been a pandemic, but I'm super excited to check it out. Also, tomorrow is Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to our moms, to our listeners who are moms, to all the moms.
Our housewives who are moms.
Yes.
I will say that it kind of crept up on me in that it feels a little early this year, right? It's May 9th, but I feel like usually it falls between like a 12 and a 14, and that extra couple of days is a good buffer. So I'm not going to lie, I was scrambling this week to get the cards out in the mail. I sent my mom a card from her dog, which she doesn't know, so I'm super excited for her to get that one.
Well, since my mom listens to these episodes, I'm going to say that I was very well prepared, and it did not sneak up on me at all. I've had it in the calendar for months.
You're such a good daughter.
I know.
Well, I also want to acknowledge that it is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, and Bravo and NBCU are here to remind everyone the importance of including diverse voices. There are so many people who are part of the AAPI community who make our shows so great. Shout out to Dr. Tiffany Moon. Moonbeams rise up.
And in an effort to continue to highlight those diverse voices and this month in general, we're bringing Bali Chainani from Family Karma to co-host next week.
Oh, I'm so excited. She is one of my faves from that cast. And I know she's going to have so much to say about especially things that are going on, I think, on Roni. I can't wait to hear her take on Real Housewives of Atlanta. All right, what are we talking about today?
So we need to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta Reunion Part 2, plus Real Housewives of New York Season 13 Premiere, and Summer House Reunion Part 2.
Plus, you interviewed Jackie Goldschneider from Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm very curious to hear that interview because I want to know how things are between her and Teresa.
Right. I get into it.
And of course, we'll wrap up with Rose and Thorne.
Okay, Atlanta?
Yes. Okay, I want to take it back a little bit in terms of Kenya and Portia's relationship and where things went left and how they came into this season. So in the after show, Kenya mentions that she felt Portia didn't have her back last season with Nene, especially after that whole Buffalo comment. Do you remember?
Yes.
And, you know, with their trip last season and a conversation that Kenya had with Portia, and Portia was like, well, she wasn't talking about your daughter. She was talking about you. And Kenya was like, no, she was talking about Brooklyn. And I think that's where a big disconnect happened between the two of them, and that energy came into this season and is exactly why we are where we are with each of them next to Andy
right.
at this reunion.
Well, but since we're going back, I do have to say the Buffalo comment wasn't about Kenya's child. It was just about how she looked carrying the child, you know, which still isn't nice for sure. But like, don't make it more than what it is. You know, you can be mad for someone body shaming you. That's totally fine.
Right, right. Well, I do think Kenya has a tendency to take something and run with it and then use that as an explanation as to why she feels a certain way. So she definitely put that in her pocket and was waiting to pull that out again to use against Portia, I think.
Yeah.
But it gives a little bit more context as to how things really shifted in their relationship, or at least in Kenya's mind.
Right.
In this one moment where LaToya was out on the stage and then it went to the discussion about Cynthia's wedding. And I don't think LaToya was there. And then LaToya was back again. Did you notice that?
Oh my God, I didn't. But that's very funny because, I mean, honestly, people do sometimes have to take like emergency breaks, you know? And I wonder if they just felt like, oh, well, we'll shoot around her, you know?
That is a good point, because she was very sick with like kidney infection. She had a cold. She had a UTI. She had a lot of things going on. So maybe she had to hop off that stage for a minute.
Yeah, I wonder. What did you think about Cynthia's explanation about the wedding and stuff?
I understand where she's coming from. I absolutely do. But it's like, I don't know. I keep kind of siding with Mike in the whole thing and what his argument was before the wedding even happened. It was like, do you want to marry me or do you want to have a wedding? Like, which one is it?
Right.
And Cynthia wanted both. She did. And if that's what she wanted, that's what she wanted. Did she put people at risk? Maybe. But everyone also who attended was a full-grown adult who had control over the situation. And it sounded like Mike's daughter didn't attend. And they didn't really get into why, but something told me it was pandemic related.
Yeah. I'm so curious. Or like, was it something? I mean, who knows? It could have been just family drama.
I know.
But at least Cynthia said it. She doesn't think it was about her, which, you know, that's good. I guess on one hand, I think there's something very romantic about two people who are in love and they're like, I don't want to wait a second longer to marry you. But on the other hand, it's not like you're waiting to get married to have sex, you know, like you're not right. Not been holding on to your virginity this whole time. Like, why can't you wait a year, you know?
Well, because the date would not have been perfect. 10, 10, 21 does not flow off the tongue the way 10, 10, 20 does. It's not the perfect date. Yeah, I mean, you got to make exceptions sometimes, right? You got to like let go and let God, as they say.
Yeah.
And it seemed like under the circumstances, pandemic, hurricanes, all sorts of things, like maybe God was trying to send you a message, Cynthia, but she went forward with it.
But don't you think it's interesting that like you can do anything on the show and someone's going to have a negative opinion about it? But no one really had anything to say about Cynthia's wedding. And I can't tell if it's just because Cynthia is so well-loved by everyone. She's not in the drama with people. Or if it's because, you know, well, it's related to your wedding. We're not going to, you know, talk shit about your wedding. But
yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
There were probably things that were said among this cast that didn't get caught on camera.
Yeah.
I would imagine. But, you know, it happened.
Because in a way, you could be upset that she put you in that position of also getting negativity in press. You know, like, well, you were at the wedding, right?
As an attendee, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, I also feel bad for Cynthia just in regards to her father not attending the wedding. And we talked about it a bit in the after show. And you can definitely see a shift in Cynthia's energy when she talks about her dad. And I don't know the full story. I don't know if any of us know the full story about her relationship with him or what happened between her mom and him. But there's definitely more there that I would love to hear about.
Yeah.
Because there's some complications that I don't think we fully addressed.
Well, even though we're not getting into a full recap this week, it did remind me of what we saw on Real Housewives of New Jersey this week with Jen and her mom. And her mom, yeah. I mean, I feel like the subtext of Jennifer's mom's argument was, you're putting all of my stuff out there on this show. And, you know, but what she was actually saying was, you know, that whole tea party was all about me and my issues and you embarrassed me.
Yeah.
But I think it does also have something to do with how much she's being filmed talking about these things.
Yeah, that's a good point, because she does mention something about things from her dad's past or something resurface whenever she brings it up on the show.
Yeah.
So there is definitely something her dad doesn't want a light shined on, you know? And so maybe for everyone's like safety, it can't be a thing, but I'm just so curious what the real story is.
Yeah.
We need a Cynthia Bailey memoir. It can be called Cheekbones.
Oh, that's a good one.
Maybe a little longer than that, but I like that.
Cheekbones so colon, the true story of Cynthia Bailey.
Yes, that's perfect.
My life as.
From model to mama. Ooh, see, okay. Cynthia, call me. All right, I have to ask. I don't think we discussed this during the South Carolina trip. What would your dungeon name be?
Well, because what was Candy's dungeon's name?
Candy was just mistress. I think that was all that.
Oh, what would my dungeon, not the name of my dungeon.
No, not like, no, not the name of your dungeon.
I was like, Megan's cave? I don't know.
No, as a, you know, dominatrix type person, what would your character name be?
Mistress Megan, I like just for the alliteration, obviously, but true. I'm sure there's better. Man, you really put me on the spot. I didn't have time to think about it.
I know.
Would you know what yours is?
Well, I thought of Mac Daddy.
Oh, that's a good one.
right? I really loved Candy's for Andy when she was just like, what, Silver Bullet?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. You know, because it's kind of phallic. It references his hair.
Yeah.
And mine, you know, I wanted to do a play on my name at least. So Mac Daddy, I think, would be a good one.
It's a good one.
I'm trying to think of one for you. How about something to do with Texas?
Right.
You know? Queso.
You know, we can do a whole Patreon episode that's just us workshopping.
We'll come back to it. If anyone listening has some ideas for Megan's dungeon name, please let us know. Oh, the other thing that I'm so curious about, and it's something I think we should talk to an exec about next time we interview one, is this kids versus no kids situation, because it seems to keep coming back to a production thing, right? Where they're like, well, if you're going to bring your kids, you have to let production know. If you're not, we don't want them on the trip. It's a girl's trip. It's too much to coordinate. So I'm so curious if there really is an element to it that is just, it's complicated to produce an event when there are underage like kids involved.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking, because like, I don't know if it's like an HR element, but obviously working women, you know, they do get a certain amount of time off to take care of their babies. But these children, I think, are past that age. Maybe Candy's not so much. But I can also understand how it would be in the best interest of the show for production to say no kids on this trip. Because like we saw, Kenya, you know, was turning in early. Like she didn't really want to hang with the women because she wanted to be with her baby. So in terms of making a good show, I would want the girls to be focused on just being there with the girls.
Yeah, well, particularly for a bachelorette party in South Carolina with a stripper, it seems like maybe this isn't the one that you tell the entire cast, sure, if you want to bring your kids along, go right ahead. Because you're right, that would affect what plays out in the house and all of that. So yeah, that is interesting.
I'm disappointed. Candy didn't get more upset when Kenya was like, well, you know, Candy, you could arrange to have a whole dick in the box come like on the trip. Surely you could have arranged for your kid to. And Candy really didn't have too much of a reaction to that. But I feel like I would think and a comment like that would really set Candy off.
Okay, so here's how I feel. If they wanted to bring their child, the child would be there. You know, I love you to death, Candy. But you arranged to have a whole dick in a box come. But if you wanted to arrange to have your child there, I think that you could have made it happen easier than I made it happen.
Yeah, I agree, because we have seen Candy confront Kenya. She did it on the South Carolina trip when she thought Kenya was out of line. Candy won't do it in front of other people. She'll do it one-on-one because she is Kenya's friend. So maybe on that stage, Candy didn't feel like it was the right time, but that was a bit of a low blow from Kenya. So I agree. I'm surprised Candy didn't have even just a simple rebuttal of like, well, you know, that's not really fair for you to say that, or something along those lines, you know?
Because she definitely was bothered by that fan question that was like, well, even your own daughter has said you weren't really, you know, you work too much.
Right. And there was a question that even Andy said, right? And she was sort of like, okay, Andy, you know, like,
well, she kind of
called him out. Yeah, watch your tone. Yeah, I love that. I love that moment. Because Candy doesn't really take a lot of BS. And she was really affected by the double standard, like she said, in South Carolina. So yeah, it is surprising she bit her tongue on that one.
Yeah.
Riley, she says I work a lot, but it's not like what you said that makes it seem like I'm not it.
Sorry.
Watch your tone.
Okay, I have a question for you. Does Marlo actually think Shamia's name is Shamila? Or is she being shady?
I think she actually thought that's what her name was.
just based on Shamia's reaction of like, my name is not Shamila, it's Shamia. God, like, it's almost like she's told her that so many times over the years, but for whatever reason, it doesn't click with Marlo. But how is that possible? They've been on the show together for a long time.
So Shamil said it wasn't me.
Stop saying my name with L. It is Shamila.
I do have to say, I now believe Marlo that she didn't have lipo until after that trip. Because I thought that for sure if she had, she would admit it at the reunion. And be like, you know what? Yeah, I did.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah, she told me in the interview that I did with her a couple weeks back that she got lipo, but it did sound like it wasn't before that trip because you would be in bed, in recovery for at least, I think, 2 weeks. You wouldn't be able to just get lipo and hop on a plane and be in a whole new state, or I guess she was on the bus, but still, like, you wouldn't be able to just move like that after getting liposuction. No way.
The Portia and Marlo stuff was interesting. I don't ever feel like, to me, it's not one of those friendships like a Candy and Phaedra where you're like, where did it all go wrong? Like, I'm so sad you guys aren't friends anymore. This is like, I didn't really ever know you guys were friends, but now you have this huge issue, but now you're not friends. And like, that's fine with me.
Yeah, there does seem to be a disconnect in what's happening between them and what we're seeing as viewers, right? There's something that I feel like I'm missing. And the way Portia is responding to the whole thing by not actually saying what Marlo's issue is frustrating because, like, we need to clear the air. That's why we're here at this reunion.
Right.
And I don't know if Portia is handling the whole thing correctly. I understand her being like, well, it's Marlo's issue. She needs to say it. But it's like, okay, well, we're here. This is what we're talking about. Why not put it out there and then let Marlo scramble to explain herself? Because then I think Portia would be the one in power again. I don't know.
Right.
It's confusing. Yeah. It's really confusing.
Very.
I also have a prediction for a potential next season. I think LaToya and Drew will become unlikely friends. And honestly, I think they would be quite the pair if they were to become allies.
I actually really agree with you because there's a certain chemistry there.
Yes.
That they are able to joke. And then it, like, I mean, look, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I do feel LaToya came on particularly strong this season because she thought that she needed to.
Yeah.
And we've heard this before from people that are like seasoned veterans on Bravo, that sometimes you get a newcomer who's just comes in guns blazing because they think that that's what they're supposed to do. And really, you're just supposed to be yourself. And I think that once LaToya kind of settles into the show a bit more, she won't feel the need to come for Drew and they can be friends.
Right, right. But I kind of appreciate the way LaToya comes for Drew because if they were to establish a friendship, I think they would have really fun and playful shade towards each other that would actually, like you said, lean into their chemistry and just make for a really fun dynamic duo.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, man. I hope we get that next season.
But yeah, I'm curious to see how the reunion will end and how it will all kind of come together.
Well, I heard Andy ask in the next on, where's Tanya? Has anyone heard from Tanya? Which is the question we've been asking.
I mean, yeah, that's the part we really need to get to be honest.
Yeah, they're definitely saving all of the juicy parts, the peach juicy parts of the South Carolina trip for part three. But I hope we get some confessions. I hope we get down to the bottom of where Tanya is in this whole thing. We've got some questions that need answering.
All right, should we talk about Real Housewives of New York?
Yes.
It's back.
It's back.
Is it me or does the cast feel smaller this season? I don't know if it actually is. Maybe it is.
There's only five.
Yeah. It feels tiny. Like, I don't have a problem with it. And I think, you know, we see different iterations of the Housewives cast all the time. Sometimes you have way too many people, you know, so I don't know that this will be a bad thing.
I know. It's interesting because same with Atlanta. There were five housewives this season, but LaToya as a friend of, Marlo as a friend of, Shamia, that kind of helped fill out the cast and fill out some of the gaps that there could potentially be. I'm hoping that with New York, Bershon Shaw, who hasn't shown up yet, but will eventually this season, will help balance it out a little bit because you know, in this episode in particular, we meet Ebony, who I love already. I feel like she is a friend I've always had. She just feels very familiar to me. But it was kind of clear that it was not even the elephant in the room, because it was kind of addressed in weird ways, but it was like, here's the Black cast member of the show now, you know, like just the things that Sonia was saying about how diverse her fish were in the pond or something.
I'll just try to be PC, but if you notice, my fish are every color. I have black, white, yellow.
You look gorgeous.
Black and orange.
I see black, biracial fish. Yeah. Body positivity, you have larger fish.
Yep, skinny ones, little ones.
Skinny ones.
Everything.
You better be the queen of fish diversity, bitch.
Like, I was kind of like, okay, I get it. We might as well address it in the beginning, and it is something that a lot of fans have talked about over the years, like, we need to diversify this cast. This isn't representative of New York. But with only five of them and one of them being new, there is a little bit of a, I don't know, like a it's off balance a little bit.
You know, I do feel like that's also a product of the editing too. I feel like that comment would have been made regardless of what was happening around us, you know, but I think that because of the state of everything right now, that whereas maybe years ago they would have edited that part out, they were like, you know what, we got to keep it in.
Right.
So I think that, I did find it interesting too. Like, we're not just glossing over it.
Yeah. And it is Sonia being like kooky Sonia and trying to make someone feel comfortable in her home. But, you know, going off of that too, kooky Sonia in her home, I love that we have Sonia back in the townhouse because of the whole Grey Gardens thing. That said, I'm a little worried about her. And I think Ramona calls it out too, and Luann at one point, like, this is regressing, you know? Like, Sonia is going back to a very dark place in her life with the Century 21 thing falling through. She's back in the townhouse that always stresses her out. Like, I'm a little worried.
And just the fact that it sounded like her own daughter was having a hard time getting in touch with her.
Yeah.
That's the worrisome part, because Sonia lives for her daughter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Quincy is also all over Instagram now. Her account is public. Will we get an appearance from her on the show this season? I would love that.
That'd be great.
It would be great. I think we all love Sonia for so many reasons, but to be able to see her daughter and interact with her daughter, I think it would round out her, you know, character. It would round out who she is as a whole person, you know, being able to see her more as a mom.
Okay, so I'm really happy to know that Luann is back on the wagon, not drinking.
Yeah.
It was great to hear her be so honest, though, about why, and just say that, you know, there were a couple times this summer where it got out of control and I don't know how I got home. Because the fact that she's being so honest, it's like, wow, I think this is the time it's going to stick, you know? Like, she's not hiding anything.
I agree. There is something different about the way she presents herself in this episode and where she is in her life. And even to see her joke about being able to see Tom's terrace from her apartment feels like we've seen a lot of growth. And she's kind of the most centered we've seen her. And she talked about it a lot last season about how, you know, happy and healthy she is. And she's okay to start drinking again. But it felt like a little fake. It felt like she was trying to convince herself and the viewers.
Yeah.
But I think this time around, it feels a lot more authentic. I agree.
Yeah. But also, okay, because all of these photos are going around of the housewives in bikinis, seeing her body, I'm like, do I need to give up drinking too? Because
I know.
It looks so good on her.
Listen, at the end of the day, alcohol is kind of just empty calories, right? It's just the extra stuff you don't really need. And this is coming from someone who drank a lot of Prosecco and rosé at a baby shower this past weekend. So I'm not really one to talk, but it's true. It's true. It'll definitely help. It can't hurt.
Yes. Can't hurt.
Speaking of Luann, she's dating this new guy, Garth. She mentions she found him on a dating app. Do we think it was Raya?
Oh, do we know if she's on Raya?
I don't know, but I'm assuming, because that's what all the fancy, you know, wealthy people are on.
I just think that, like, I keep hearing this from people in Luann's demographic, like her age group. People say, I don't want to deal with the apps. So I wouldn't be surprised with as flirty as she is if she just went to a bar and picked up a guy.
Not the Regency, but...
Not the Regency, but maybe the Regency, you know.
By the way, speaking of Raya, I saw this TikTok on Twitter.
I know.
You've seen it?
Yes. Go ahead, though, so listeners know. Can I explain it?
Yeah, because I thought of you immediately. It's a TikTok that's going around, and it's a woman who was on Raya, and she matched with Ben Affleck and didn't believe that it was actually him. So she, I don't know, swiped left or
unmatched crossed, with
unmatched
him.
Unmatched
She'd already
him.
Matched and unmatched.
Okay, perfect. So she unmatched with him, and he ended up sending her a video where he like said her
via
name.
Via DM on Insta.
Oh, it was a DM on Insta. Yeah, he sends her a video and he's like, why would you unmatch with me? And my first thought was just like, oh my God, how must she feel in that moment? And how must Megan feel knowing that she could have had a chance with Ben Affleck if she was on this app?
I do. Okay. So a few thoughts. One, what an asshole this girl is to post that, because it's like, it was a private DM. And I'm sorry, I'm very protective of Ben, but I just feel like, you bang him. You don't post the message. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I see all these people tweeting now. They're like, if there are any celebrities who want to contact me, I will not post it. I will just let you fuck me.
Right. No, it is true. It does. I think it works to his advantage that she posted it because it's funny and it kind of shows his sense of humor. He's not taking it super seriously, but he is interested in having a connection with someone. So it was kind of a shitty thing for her to do, but maybe it actually works in Ben's advantage at the end of the day. Which, by the way, is he hanging out with J-Lo again? That's what I heard.
He is, but I know. And, you know, I hated it the first time around, but I'm really into it the second time around.
Oh, okay.
I know. But, you know, because I just felt Jennifer Garner was all wrong with for him. And then I was like, he should have stuck it out with J-Lo. So.
You never know.
I have a lot of opinions on Ben. We should have a whole separate Ben podcast.
Okay. I want to go back to the top of the episode really quick because I wasn't ready to be all in on topics like penance and conversion and Catholicism. Like, we started off really heavy with the religious stuff, right?
I'm just so interested in why Leah chose Judaism.
As I've mentioned to you, that I am starting my conversion process to Judaism. Today is Yom Kippur, and it's just becoming very real to me that I am taking these steps.
It's just a big thing to convert to an organized religion.
What else would you convert to, an unorganized religion?
I've been thinking about converting to Judaism for many, many years.
I mean, maybe I'm having my Madonna ray of light moment.
Then when COVID hit, I was having, I would say, the only period of my life where I felt very disconnected from a God. I quit drinking again, and I got a very deep calling to convert to Judaism.
Yeah, so I will say, technically, I'm Catholic, right? I was baptized. I never got confirmed. That didn't happen all the way through. I'm not practicing by any means. But in my experience, Judaism as a religion and a culture has always been appealing to me because conceptually, the way they talk about God and heaven and all of that stuff and kind of how you're supposed to operate here on earth is all really interesting to me. So I understand why Leah might be leaning towards that religion, but it is interesting to go through the process of conversion because it is a lot. I mean, you remember the episode of Sex and the City and like you have to go and ask a rabbi like three times.
I think that's, and that's where my comment is coming from. It's like, why? Because I was like, oh, well, maybe her family. No, her family's Catholic. Well, is it for love like Charlotte? No, you know, she just feels like doing it. And like, I mean, it's very interesting to me because I feel like that's not at all how any of my friends responded to the pandemic. No one was like, I'm gonna get super religious now.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because to go through the whole process, but to say, well, I don't want to be like, I'm not going to go like all the way and like be like super Jewish or whatever it is. It's sort of like, well, then can't you just kind of practice what you want on your own and operate off of belief systems from Judaism and other religions that might be interesting. You can kind of piece things together however you want to move forward in your faith and spirituality. But, you know, I like that she's trying to structure it like, well, it's Yom Kippur and I, you know, need to ask for forgiveness. And her dad's like, nah, I don't know. I'm not ready to forgive you. And she's like, well, that's not how it works. So she's kind of practicing, but kind of not. She's making it her own, which is just an interesting thing. But yeah, you're right. I haven't heard of anyone else in the last year be like, I need to convert to a new religion.
Right.
But hey, whatever gets you through.
Yeah, for sure.
Last thing I want to talk about for Roni is the lunch at Sonia's. I thought it was really interesting. Some of the questions that were coming Ebony's way, just as a woman, you know, I was at a baby shower this past weekend. So obviously everyone's like talking about babies, and a few of my friends had been engaged and hadn't seen other friends. So we're showing off rings. And at one point I remember talking to a friend of mine whose wedding is at the end of this year. And I thought about asking her the question, are you guys thinking about having, you know, kids? And then I stopped myself because I was like, it's not really an appropriate question, right?
No, because, longer allowed to ask it.
Yeah. And I don't want to put anyone in a position where they will feel uncomfortable or have to explain something that they don't want to explain. So I didn't say anything. And I, you know, I was like, if she wants to present that information to me, great. We can have that conversation. So then watching this episode and seeing Sonia just straight up be like, well, do you want kids? What's the deal? And, you know, that's Sonia. That's who she is. But I was kind of like, you don't know her story. Is that appropriate to be asking that? I don't think so.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe because on the show, it's been such a topic of conversation. You know, Bethany for so long was very open about she wanted to have a child. Tinsley, very open about how she wanted to have a child. You know,
yeah.
Carol, very open about how she, you know, was choosing not to have children. So I do know that it's just one of those weird things that, like, I guess because you're on the show, you can ask the personal questions. But to anyone who lives in polite society, like, you really shouldn't. And, you know, before it really became a norm of, like, you shouldn't ask, I've certainly put myself in position of getting a really uncomfortable answer. You know, like, just to – sometimes there is a reason someone hasn't had kids yet. And, like, it's a really personal or – you know, not happy answer.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, at least Ebony handled it well. She didn't seem to be offended by anything. She appears to be an open book. She's very forthcoming with who she is and what she's been through and what her thoughts are. I mean, even just the scene we saw with her friend where she was talking about the financial issues she's had over the years. I was like, good for you for leading with this first episode, putting it all out there so that people aren't going to go start digging through your life and, you know, pulling up receipts of all sorts of things you might have done in the past. So she seems to be very much an open book. And, you know, that's kind of what you have to be a housewife.
Well, I was looking at brownstones. So, you know,
that was a couple years ago.
And I told you what happened, y'all. I tried it. I went to the bank.
Oh, they had some news.
I thought I was bawling, and then I forgot to check that FICO, bitch. Mm. And they were like, no one's going to give you a mortgage. Like, no one.
Yeah.
Like, not even your mama is going to give you a mortgage with this FICO.
Yeah, no, I love that she showed that vulnerability.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's also very relatable, you know? And, yeah, I think that's great to also be sort of a success story out of that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. For her to just bring up a FICO score, which is something very real that so many people deal with. You might have money, but if you have bad credit, that affects so many things in your life. So that's something that I was so happy to hear her be open about, because I think a lot of other women, you know, on these shows tend to do a little smoke and mirror action, which we also love sometimes, but I appreciate her honesty.
Absolutely.
What is going to happen on this Hamptons trip?
Okay, I've watched some episodes.
Oh, God.
It's great. Like, it's good, though. I only saw the part one, and I'm really excited for part two also. But part one is great.
Oh, my God.
So we got to talk about it next week.
Oh, yes.
I got the chance to talk to Jackie Goldschneider from Real Housewives of New Jersey. I grilled her about all things reunion that they filmed, where things stand with Teresa, plus how she and Evan got through this season filled with cheating rumors. Here's that interview. Yeah. All right. Welcome back, Jackie. I hope this is our last virtual interview and next time it's in the studio.
I hope so. I miss getting dressed up and going to interviews.
No kidding. Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, I can't believe the season is over already, almost.
I know.
Yeah.
And you guys shot the reunion.
Yes, we did.
How was it?
I was so nervous for a reunion because I thought that it would just be vicious and explosive. And it was really, really good. There were some really, a lot of drama, a lot of, you know, like we go through everything, but it was not the level of viciousness that I thought it would be, which is good. I mean, you don't really want that after the season we had.
I know. Well, you know, it's funny because I'm watching these episodes and I'm like, it's so great how you and Teresa have fully moved on. And then I'm like, but it's all going to get dredged up again at the reunion. And how do you navigate that? Like when you fully moved on?
Because it already happened. So we moved past the drama from the rumor. We had moved past that for the second half of the season. You see, I go to her house, we kiss hello. And then when it aired, it all came back out again. Like on social media, her camp was like saying, you know, some mean things. And like, you know, I was making some shady, you know, posts. And like, we were kind of like angry again at each other. So when we got to reunion, we were still in that like
fired up phase.
Angry phase. Yeah. It wasn't like we were in a good place when we got to reunion.
Wow. Is it all good now?
Oh, I can't tell you that. You have to tune in. I have to leave you wanting more, right?
Totally. I do want to ask a little bit about Dolores and the relationship drama that we get this week. And, you know, the part that she felt all of the girls played by doing the poll at the party. How, you know, I feel like I totally get where you guys are coming from, because as same with the fans, the last we saw was Dolores was kind of pissed off that she hadn't gotten proposed to by the, you know, time that the reunion was filming last season. So for now, her to be totally fine with it is a bit of a shock. And so I feel like I totally get where you all are coming from, but she wasn't seeing it that way. So since all of that has happened, have you guys just sort of backed off?
Definitely. I mean, Dolores made it clear that she does not want anyone discussing her relationship, that she's happy the way it is. And, you know, at some point you have to just trust what your friends are telling you. So the problem is that I come from a very different place with relationships. My relationship with Evan is very much based on us being together all the time and a lot of love and a lot of together time and sharing. And so from my perspective, that's what a partner does when you're committed to each other. And I know how happy that makes me. And that's all I wanted for her, because that's what I thought she wanted. So, but if she's saying that what she has is what makes her happy and she wants nothing else,
then
I guess I have to trust her. You know? Yeah. So I've definitely backed off. I mean, I'm not going there no matter what, because nothing I say, it's a lose-lose for me to comment on
it. Totally. I also thought it was interesting for Jennifer to talk about how things have are sort of strained with her mom at the moment, because her mom feels like, oh, you were trying to embarrass me with that tea party. And I do feel like also the subtext of that is you're putting my drama out on the show, you know, and everyone's going to see that. And how hard is that for you in your own life, sort of navigating that stuff?
Absolutely.
I mean, even like in your, when you talk about your parents, you film with your brother, and I know you've sort of talked about the lack of relationship with your sister. Do you have to be so careful about all those things?
Well, here's the thing with me. Before I would put anyone else's drama front and center, I talked to my parents about it. Like with my father with the eating disorder stuff, I did not, because that actually came out of his mouth out of left field.
Yeah.
We went to his house that day just to organize his cabinets, and he came out with all that stuff. I wasn't even going to go there. But like in general, if I'm going to talk about something that has to do with my parents or my sister or my brother on air, I kind of give them the heads up, you know, because I do feel like Jennifer's mom was caught really off guard. She did not want this on the air. And I feel like at a certain point, you're taking advantage of your family. There's plenty of things that you could talk about yourself. You know, I mean, there's plenty of drama in everyone's marriage or with everyone's, you know, journey as a parent. And I just feel like her mom didn't want any of this coming out and being public. And I do feel very badly for her. I know she's struggling.
Yeah. When the stuff about the eating disorder and your dad's comments did come out, was he upset?
No. See, the problem is that my father didn't see anything wrong with what he said. So it's okay, but that's okay because I was happy to explore that and really kind of talk to him about it, which is not something I ever felt comfortable doing before. And the show gave me the opportunity to do that, which is so fantastic. And we really did get to a better place with it. I mean, he never understood an eating disorder, which, I mean, I don't think most people understand an eating disorder. So it gave me the opportunity to really talk to him with the added bonus of the fact that he brought it up, not me, you know, so. But he was a little bit upset. He thought he was portrayed maybe a little bit not as caring as he is, because he really is such a, you know, a caring, loving, like squishy daddy. But when it comes to eating disorders, he just opens his mouth and like sometimes it's the very wrong words. So
yeah,
I was happy to go there, and you know, he didn't love it, but in the end, he was happy. He likes the he loves being on the show, so it was good. It got him lots of airtime. He loves it.
That's great.
Yeah,
we're sort of seeing something happening with Cynthia from Real Housewives of Atlanta and this issue coming up because her dad is, you know, like, don't talk about me on the show. Have you ever heard anything from your sister since the show, you know, you being on it? And even though you don't go super deep, you have?
Yeah. So my relationship with my sister is like, I don't even want to call it strained because I've never even known her as a sister. It's very strange to me to even refer to her as my sister because she's just another woman who like shares the same parents as me.
Right.
I've never, ever, ever had a relationship with her. And I thought that when we got to be adults, that that would change and like our children would, you know, soften that divide, but it just never happened. And the show gave me the opportunity again to have an excuse to try again, to form a relationship with her. And really, for a few minutes, she was into it. We did have that conversation in the driveway. I mean, it was a Bravo heard it on their end, but she would not allow it to be on the air. And, you know, I really hoped that that would lead to something more. But, you know, it's just a recurring pattern with us. If we make up for 5 minutes, like all of a sudden something will happen that really usually has nothing to do with me, that she's, you know, angry at me again for something, or my parents gave me more attention or more time or more money or like something, they gave me a present and she gets angry about it. And I don't know, and I can't control it. So I've really stopped, but she got very like angry about the show. And she thought that she's very wary of the show. She thinks someone's going to show up at her doorstep and like want her to, I don't know. She has all these crazy ideas about it. So I don't even bother anymore.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about how all of the rumor stuff, you know, it's a different experience to watch it versus filming it, you know, and it all sort of came back up again. How did you and Evan navigate that?
It was hard. I mean, when we were initially going through it, that was horrible, horrible, horrible. He was so devastated. I mean, he is such a good guy. And like Joe Gorga said, when you really are a good guy and something like this is said about you, like it does hurt.
Right.
But Evan prides himself on being a father, being a husband, being a children's coach in town, you know, and in being trusted in his industry, you know? And so for this to come about when there was not even, you know, one shred of anything presented, you know, there was no evidence, obviously, because it never happened. And like, just to come out with something like this, that's so incredibly damaging, is he was just devastated. But so we went through all of that. And we eventually got to a place where we just, you know, the reason we accepted those, you know, very mediocre apologies is because we were just past it already. And it didn't matter what came out of her mouth. We just needed this to be over. We needed not to be the punching bags anymore. But when it all aired again, it was a different kind of pain because social media was involved.
Yeah.
And people were just brutal. I mean, like he said, 80%, I think 80% of the world knew, definitely understood it was an analogy and definitely knows that if you don't have a shred of evidence, like it's just words and it means nothing.
Yeah.
But that 20% that like is on the other side of that, they went after us on social media. I mean, I just got like flooded with comments about the women that Evan was having an affair with, and like, who knows the trainer at the gym, and like, you know, we had to prepare our kids to go to, you know, a lot of kids in this town watch the show with their parents because they know me, and we just had to prepare our kids for what they might hear at school from all their friends who are watching the show. I mean, my boys are 13 years old. All the girls in their grade watch the show, so we just had to prepare them for what they might hear. We had to ban them from Googling our names, from what they might read, from what they might see on YouTube. You know, they used to get a kick out of Googling my name or checking me on YouTube and seeing clips. They couldn't do that anymore because there was very nasty things on YouTube. There's nasty stuff on the internet. There was just a whole flood of social media that made it, you know, more complicated. And then my kids were scared. They would see something saying like, is their marriage in trouble? And my daughter would cry at night. And, you know, like, it's scary to be a kid and see this stuff out there about your parents. You don't know what to believe. So there was just that the internet introduced a whole new layer of stress to it. And, you know, leading up to reunion, it was very hard too, because, you know, I love Evan and I've always tried my best as a mom and a wife to make my family feel safe. But he would ask me questions like, what's she going to do? What's going to happen here? And what's she going to say about this? And what if she does this? And I couldn't answer any of them because I had no idea. And that was very painful for me.
I mean, how does it make you feel about potentially coming into another season?
It makes me feel great because if I survive this, I can survive anything. B, the worst thing has already happened to me. I mean, what can you do now? No one's going to spread another rumor about me that's been done.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like, why would I ever leave right now when I just survived the worst?
Yeah.
Right? If I survived, if I was going to walk away, I would have walked away when the cast was in Lake George, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like this, I put blood, sweat, and tears into this show. There ain't no way that I'm leaving.
Yeah.
No way. And plus, I feel like I add to the show. I mean, I am different, you know?
For sure. And, you know, I just think that also, and it's probably a blessing and a curse, but at this point, your husband is well known. He is recognizable. And we've seen this happen across franchises. Like, guys can't get away with anything. Like, videos will come out, you know? So I think that the fact that there is no hard evidence, you know, in a way, like
nothing. Yeah. And that's what kind of like annoyed me too. You know, like if he had done something, if there was a picture, like, then you know what? I got caught. I'm on a reality show. Fair game. But like, he goes to a small gym in a small town.
Yeah.
Like, I've been living here for over a decade. I would have heard something.
Right.
Someone would have a picture. Like, someone would know. Plus, my friend owns the gym. Like, I would know something,
yeah.
You know?
I just think it must be so hard because it's just anyone can throw any sort of random rumor out there. And it,
I know. Yeah.
You know, it's just the hard thing that you can't sort of prepare yourself for in a way.
Well, I will say that reunion, we really get into it at reunion. And I think that by the time reunion ends, there is like a period at the end of this and we crumple it up and throw it away and you'll see how it plays out. But I think it's over and done with for sure.
That's great.
Yeah.
Another marriage that has, because I'm such a fan, very much rocked my world are these issues that seem to be coming up for Melissa and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And I just am curious on your point of view, because even hearing how Joe feels and how he feels like Melissa doesn't pay enough attention to him. And it does seem like in a way asking her to give up what she's built for herself. And you are a woman who wears many hats. And I feel like, what is your take on it? Is this something that could even be fixed?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like if you love each other enough and you want to work through problems, then that's half the battle. So of course it can be fixed, but it's going to take a lot of growth on Joe's part. It's going to take him, you know, letting go of these expectations he had of Melissa forever to be, you know, just a dutiful wife. And I think that it's also, you know, going to take a little bit of understanding on Melissa's part that maybe, you know, she has to choose a few less things to do, not career-wise so much, but maybe on the going out end, you know, maybe like one less event if her husband needs her.
Yeah.
Or if she feels like she's been going out too much, you know, skip some stuff. But I think it's a give and take on both ends.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm really excited to see the finale and I can't wait for the reunion. So
I know I'm excited for a reunion. I'm excited for the next season. I'm hoping that we bring in someone new. You know, all that stuff is kept total secret from me. So I don't know, but
you're ready for some fresh blood.
I'm ready for some fresh blood. Yes. And I've got a few issues to go over with Jennifer because I mean, last week on Watch What Happens Live, her statement exactly was, and I don't have a mortgage. So check that, attorney. And then it came out that she does have a huge mortgage. So I think we need to have a discussion about that.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and I'm going to be eagerly awaiting.
Thank you. It's always fun. And I can't wait to be sitting live with you again.
Yes. Same.
Summer House? Jinx.
I've been waiting for this reunion because I loved part one so much.
I loved part one. I loved part two. I also got to watch a version that wasn't bleeped out. So I just love hearing people curse at each other.
Okay. I was living for Paige being sort of the keeper of Hannah just behind the scenes, like just quietly on the couch being like, you need to pull it together. Pull it together. You know what I mean? Which is like not usually like if I'm crying, I don't think that that's necessarily the strategy that will work on me, but I appreciate Paige like really going mom on Hannah, you know?
Yeah. She is loyal if nothing else. I know she's kind of backed away from defending Hannah or sharing her opinion on certain things because she doesn't want to be in the middle. And I get that, but she is still in moments where Hannah really needs her to reel her in or support her or whatever. Paige is there.
Yeah. Because even at the end, I mean, not to jump around, but at the very end, Paige does the same thing. She's like, you need to apologize. Apologize. Right. You know? And it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also was just like mesmerized by the intensity between Paige and Danielle.
Oh my God.
And Danielle going crazy on Paige, being like, you're not going to talk about my best friend like that. Yeah, now you can speak now that I'm finished. It's like, where was this intensity during the season?
You're listen not involved to me right now. What is what you said?
Okay, all right.
No, I'm not listening to you.
Are you going to
talk about my best friend like that? That's what I feel about that. Okay?
Okay. Are
okay,
you done?
Great.
Amazing.
Now I'm done. Now you can speak. You, Danielle. You don't ever talk about her like that.
I think it was building up all season and it came right out. It leapt out of her mouth at this reunion. And honestly, for me, Danielle is the MVP of this reunion because anytime there's been any level of bullshit or something she doesn't agree with, she's called it out immediately.
Yeah.
And, you know, did that get a little crazy and escalate way quicker than I thought it was going to? 100%. But I appreciate that fierce loyalty. It's the loyalty we see that, you know, Paige has with Hannah, and she has that for Lindsay, and she wasn't going to let that situation go without sharing her two cents. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
I'm kind of like, has anyone ever stood up for me like that in a friend situation? I mean,
I
not
will,
that I guess
if
they
need me.
I'm like, I guess I haven't really needed it, but now I'm going to create a situation.
Right, right. Just to see who has your back. The next time
exactly.
We all get together, you're going to put me and Crystal to the test.
Yeah.
I will say, too, when we talked about this a few episodes ago this season, where, you know, Lindsay is also so good at bringing Kyle back to center. It's like the Paige support we see with Hannah, we see the same thing with Lindsay and Kyle. She did it in the house. She did it at this reunion when he stormed off. She knows how to break through that wall and communicate to him and just get him back to where he needs to be to move forward. And
right.
I love that about her. I love that about their friendship.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about the Carl stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I had a lump in my throat this whole conversation when I heard, number one, that Captain Lee reached out to him to be like, I've been through a similar experience with my son.
Yeah.
And then to hear Amanda be like, this is the like so representative of what it means to be a Bravo family.
Yeah.
Can I just say that you know, Captain Lee
has experienced the same thing with his son and reached out to Carl. And it was like the most beautiful, sweet thing. And like this connection through traumatic experience and
true definition of a Bravo family.
Yeah, yeah, it's a true definition.
Yeah.
Like when you hear those things, you do realize how much bigger things are than just like what's happening on Summer House. You know, you remember that we are all part of this kind of Bravo family. And that includes the viewers and fans who feel the same way and react the same way to things. And I just thinking of Captain Lee extending that grace to Carl was just really touching.
And I, you know, he probably has said it before, but I guess I wasn't aware that Carl's now fully sober. And that makes me very happy because I was really skeptical of how it would work this season when he was talking about, you know, I've cut down on the drinking.
Yeah.
Because the way he talked about it, it just really seemed like it was a problem. And I think if it is really a problem, having even a little, like, is not a good idea.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we talked about Luann earlier and her mentioning she went through a rough patch. There were some nights that she didn't remember coming home. And that was another wake-up call for her that she needed to make a change. And then hearing Carl share what he went through, which sounded really bad, to know that Kyle went to his side and was like, man, I this is not about business. This is about our friendship. I love you. I'm here for you. And seeing that moment or hearing about that moment, that was serious, you know? And I can't even imagine what Carl must have been going through and how dark of a place he must have been in. But I just loved hearing that Kyle immediately went there to be by his side.
Kyle, he came over my apartment and I didn't know he knew I had been messed up for a couple of days and well, for months after that. He came over my apartment, he told me he loved me. And like when you lose your brother and you don't have that like male influence that you've wanted for so long, Kyle's been my brother, man. And having him come over and show that care for me and like actually, it's not about Loverboy. It's not about anything else. Like, I just want you to be okay, and I'm here for you. And Kyle, I love you for that, man.
I know. And he was getting so emotional even hearing Carl talk about it and how depressed he was.
Yeah. It's a real friendship. I mean, it's so clear that they have nothing but love for each other and are invested in each other as people. You know, a whole bunch of them are. You know, like, Hannah still feels like she's a bit on the outside of this whole friend group at this point, but it's very clear everyone else really genuinely cares about each other.
Right.
Do you think that cough that Hannah had was intentional?
We're not the poster boys for, you know, treating women as they should be treated.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me?
I'm literally
really?
Sorry.
That wasn't on purpose?
I literally had a cough. What's your problem?
Oh, I have a lot, but...
Okay, so I think that my first instinct is to say no. I don't think it was intentional. I think she really did have a cough. But at the same time, I was saying to someone, oh, Hannah, you know, was crying the whole reunion. Like, those tears weren't real. And I was like, oh, I really thought they think they were. And it's just so funny how, like, people can have such different reads on the same situation. So while I'm inclined to say I think that it was a genuine cough, maybe I'm wrong and very naive.
I know. Well, no, I don't think it's that because Danny and I were having the same conversation. I said, I don't know if I believe her. And he was like, I do. You know, he, by the end of this part two reunion, he felt like Hannah was trying, was being genuine, was being authentic. And I still felt a little bit of a disconnect. But I think what's difficult, and it came up a few times at this reunion, you know, you're a comedian. It's hard to know when you're joking or being serious, and not everything is a joke. I think when you set yourself up to be this person who constantly uses humor in every respect, even if you're upset, if you're angry, whatever, and you use humor to deflect or whatever, it becomes difficult to really know when you're being sincere and genuine or when you're trying to make a joke. And so, you know, I don't know. I see it from both ways. I don't know how I feel by the end of this reunion. I do think Hannah had remorse and tried to take accountability by the end of it. I don't necessarily know if there was any actual resolution. Do you feel like there was?
No, and I think that's what I loved about this reunion, because I do find it to be so disingenuous. Like, not every reunion can end with people being friends. That's just not real life. Like, you can have an argument and it not be healed for years, really. You know what I mean? And so I hate that, well, you know, this is the third part of the reunion, so you got to make up. You know, I don't always feel it's genuine. And so I loved that there wasn't a solution here. Like, Amanda doesn't see a friendship with Hannah, and Hannah is probably realizing she's losing her place in this group.
Right.
You know, and I just think that's how it is.
Yeah. And Hannah might be remorseful. She might be taking accountability. That doesn't mean Amanda, or Kyle for that matter, need to accept that.
Well, and it's also too f***ing late, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
The Luke bombshell, by the way, what did you think?
There's something I want to clear up with the Minnesota reference. I'm clearly going to break fourth wall, and I apologize, but this is something I have to say it. I'm sorry, guys, but I was produced and asked to ask you to go to Minnesota. I should have never have asked you that.
What?
I should have said no.
That is not true.
It's not true.
Wait, what? That is the most
Oh, my God. Okay. I would love for that to be the truth, but I don't think it is.
Yeah. So, okay. I've been to reunions where someone has blamed something on production, and immediately production from the control room will be in Andy's ear and explain to him the situation.
Yeah.
Because Andy doesn't have all the context. It's not on his cards because, you know, it came out of nowhere.
Right.
And so he'll be like, okay, so I just heard from production that, like, this is actually what happened. So I think that is the part that we weren't seeing, because when Andy's like, that's not what happened, I think that he's genuinely getting information from producers who are like, that is not what happened.
Right, from the literal people who were there.
But didn't you also feel like he was being produced backstage at the reunion when someone was like, so do you think what you're trying to say is that it just, right.
Yeah, that is true. I wonder, was that like a little Bravo wink of like, we see you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, it is funny. It reminded me of Leanne Locken, Dallas reunion, her being like, well, the truth is production had to break. And Andy's like, no, they didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's just like, okay, nice try, but nah, didn't really execute. And then for Luke to kind of take it all back and be like, I just said it to hurt you. At the end of the day, for me, I think Luke can be a fuckboy and Hannah can be wrong for her behavior. I think two truths can exist, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So it's just like, Luke needs to apologize to Hannah for all of the things that, you know, he put her through and whatnot. Same for Sierra. And Hannah needs to kind of admit a little bit more of like, yeah, I kind of was in touch with Dez, and maybe I was playing it up for the cameras early on this season of like how much I was really into Luke or what I really wanted and blah, blah, blah. And then they can both just go their separate ways.
Yeah, I do want to make it clear that me feeling like Hannah's in the wrong does not make me team Luke.
Right.
In any stretch of the imagination, because I am not. Like, I do think exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I think he's learned his lesson. I would hope he's learned his lesson by the end of this season. And maybe becoming so close with Carl, who can almost be a mentor for him on how to better operate in his life and treat women, there could be some real nice bromance there that will actually benefit Luke, and maybe he'll find a nice young lady and treat her well. Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
So my rose was from Real Housewives of New Jersey. I love that Joe Gorga a little bit got his karma, because he was being so mean to Dolores about her boyfriend last episode. And so now for Dolores's boyfriend to be the one to help Joe when he has a kidney stone was just, you can't write this stuff.
I know. It's so true. And you know what? Fun fact, Louie, Teresa's man, drove Joe to the hospital.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No wonder he likes him.
Right. My rose is from Below Deck Sailing Yacht, and it is Danny quoting Beyonce to Sydney. And she says, best revenge is your paper. I was just like, yes. I was like, I don't know if that really applies to this particular situation, but I appreciate the Beyonce reference. Yes, exactly.
As Beyonce says, best revenge is your paper. Just be awesome, look pretty, and have money. That's your best revenge, always.
I've got all that going for me.
What was your thorn?
So my thorn was from the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion. Okay, so Carrie and Brandy couldn't be at the reunion because Carrie tested positive for COVID upon arrival, and Brandy had sat next to her on the plane. And as a result, they had to do their own glam. And it showed, I felt. Which, you know, fair. But the thing is, I wouldn't want to go somewhere having done my own makeup and everyone else has gotten theirs professionally done. Like, of course, you know, like, that's why makeup artists get paid as much as they do, and hairdressers.
Right.
So they tried. Dear God, did they try? But what was your thorn?
My thorn was Teresa's gothic priest outfit that she wore at the winery. I mean, it just did not work for me. I think Jennifer showed up looking very fall with the hat, the sort of like brown, tan, like earth tones. I was like, this is a winery outfit. Teresa, I'm not sure what happened before she left the house. I don't know if she checked a mirror or not. And love you, Teresa. I do. But that look was not it.
I do feel sometimes like women's wardrobe choices are influenced by their new relationships.
Mm.
Like, for example, Kourtney Kardashian is now dating Travis Barker. And like, she dresses in a very like punk rock sort of way that she never did before.
Oh my God.
So maybe Teresa is adopting something from Louis. I don't know what, because I haven't met him yet, but
yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It was the collar. It was the priest looking like white collar under the black and then the hat and everything. I was like, oh, Teresa. No, no. Love you though.
So we'll be back with an all-new episode next week with Bali Chainani as guest co-host and an interview with Toya Bush Harris. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.